Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday, April 28th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. I'll call the meeting to order. And before we get started, I want to just briefly tell you how this is going to work, because I think there are a lot of people in the audience who may not have been through one of these hearings. So the committee is conducting today public hearings on a variety of appointments to boards, commissions, and agency director positions. And the way we will go about this is that we will call people who are here in person up. We have a few people who couldn't be here in person and will be appearing by phone, and when we get to those, we'll dial them in on the telephone. And so as we go through these appointments, we will ask people to come forward and then tell us a little about the position, their interest in it, and their background that makes them qualified for this position. And then we open it up to senators who might have questions or comments. And then we'll close these public hearings. Then at the end of the hearing, we will actually take action in a form of recommendations on the appointments that we've been hearing from. For the committee members who are here, and I'll let you introduce yourselves in just a minute, we have, you'll notice, certain people on our list that have an asterisk by their name. Those are reappointments, and in those cases, as you know, we waive a personal appearance. Obviously, they were on the list that was put out, but they will not be physically appearing before us today. So did that pretty much cover?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and I should have said at the outset, I'm Senator Diane Rosenbaum. I am a senator from Southeast Portland and Milwaukee and Northeast Portland, and the chair of this committee. And our staff are Aaron Seiler, who is our capable committee administrator, who keeps the trains running on time, literally today, because we have some people arriving by train, and makes everything run smoothly, and Mike Kelly, who's our committee assistant over there by the blue light. And I will let the senator to my left introduce his special guest, because I believe this is Take Your Child to Work Day.
My name is Jason Atkinson. I am a senator from Southern Oregon, and to my left is the very distinguished Honorable Erin Melcher, who is my daughter for the 1 o'clock hour.
Great. We're really glad to have you here today, Erin, to sit in with us. And Senator Burdick?
And my name is Jenny Burdick. I represent some fabulous people in Multnomah and Washington counties, Tigard, Southwest Portland, King City. And my daughter is hard at work as my legislative assistant.
Great. So she is at work with you.
She is.
Just upstairs. And shortly, I believe we will be joined by Senator Lee Beyer from Springfield and Senator Ted Farrioli from John Day, and I'm sure they'll be here soon. Okay, so without further ado, we will start by opening a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Bruce Goldberg as director of the Oregon Health Authority. And Dr. Goldberg, if you'd like to come forward. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon. For the record, Bruce Goldberg. I'm the, director designee or temporary director of the Oregon Health Authority, and I'm honored to be here today to be considered to be the director of the Oregon Health Authority. I think, as you know, I've dedicated my career to the organization financing delivery of health care, and this position really provides me with a tremendously meaningful way to continue that work and to work to improve the health of Oregonians. I think today, as the conversation in our state and our nation is increasingly turning to health and healthcare reform, it's hard to throw a stone without hitting a pundit who talks about healthcare or a healthcare analyst. This is one of the most meaningful and exciting times to be part of the efforts at of state and national health reform, and I'm honored to be considered for that. My experiences, which you have before you, I think have provided me with the background, knowledge, and expertise to successfully lead the Oregon Health Authority. I've cared for patients for many years in this state, and through them, I've really come to understand certainly the importance of healthcare and the importance of the state in its role in delivering healthcare services. Through my professional activities, I've had experiencing managing now large and small organizations, and I clearly have an appreciation for the necessity of effective relationships with our business community and our community partners, because I've once been on that side of the fence. And I think lastly, for the last 8 years, my experience within government has clearly showed me how important it is to have an effective working relationship with the legislature, the governor, and other state agencies. You know, I came into the DHS directorship in 2005 at a time when the agency had a number of financial and managerial problems, worked very hard to straighten those out. We began a successful effort to transform the agency, changing the culture, making it more efficient, effective, really focusing on performance management, bringing lead management into the agency. To date, we've saved over $100 million through those efforts. And for the last year and a half, I've been working to transition the large DHS, as well as several other agencies, into now a new DHS and the Oregon Health Authority. And it would be a privilege to lead that new agency. We've got a lot of work to do in creating a healthcare system here in Oregon that will improve people's health, increase the quality of care, and help make care affordable for all of us. And I'd be honored to have the opportunity to do that.
Great. Thank you for those comments. Are there any questions for Dr. Goldberg? Okay,
well, I've already grilled him. I will say that Dr. Goldberg has done a masterful job in a very difficult situation over the last several years. He has been a very strong advocate as we have changed mental health provider services. He has been part of the solution on all things that we have ranged from buildings of state hospitals all the way down to healthcare authorities and the rest of the work that happens in rural Oregon. And I'm pleased that he is such a professional with bad judgment that he is staying with state government rather than returning to making money.
Thank you.
And Dr. Goldberg, I wanted to ask you, obviously you have a history of having run a huge agency, and we will shortly be hearing from the person who is currently taking care of the Department of Human Services, but I wonder if you could comment a little bit about how the split between the Oregon Health Authority and the rest of DHS has been implemented.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, we've been, I think, transitioning the agency and with two things in mind. Number one, we've done this within the available resources. In other words, we haven't created more staff, more bureaucracy. Actually, in many ways, we've streamlined government. We're doing this with less staff than when we began things. And we're doing it in a way that I hope will be a model for the rest of state government in terms of we are continuing to share administrative infrastructure between the two agencies. So we haven't created two different information system departments. We haven't created two different billing and human resources and all of those things. But we very methodically have gone through the agency over the last year and a half, mapped out all of our business processes and determined what made sense to split out because they only served one side of the agency, and what made sense to share within with both agencies, and are now working out some ways to codify sort of shared service agreements with performance standards between the two agencies. And I think it's going to be a very effective way to move forward, and I'm confident that we can do that.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't see any other questions, so thank you for being here today, and we will be acting at the end of the hearing on
thank
this
you.
Appointment. And next, I will... Oh, I'm closing the public hearing on Dr. Bruce Goldberg as Director of Oregon Health Authority and opening a public hearing on the appointment of Aaron Kelly Seal as the Director of the Department of Human Services. If you'd like to come forward. And it looks like you have somebody with you today. Did she want to join you or no?
Okay.
Asked her to. Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Erin.
Hi, Erin.
Kelly Seal, and my daughter is here with me. Her name is McKenna, and she's a little shy.
So I'm McKenna.
It is a privilege to be before you today and to have had the and have been offered the opportunity to lead and support the Department of Human Services. As Dr. Goldberg mentioned, and as the question that you, Chair Rosenbaum, asked, we're really kicking off an incredible time as a new organization in the Department of Human Services. And I think what I've had in common in each of my conversations with those of you I've had the opportunity to meet and talk with is the question, why do you want to do this right now? As you know, the Department of Human Services now has two major bodies of work and several program areas that we are responsible for. We serve kids and families. We help kids keep children safe. We help keep families together and help them to support themselves and be independent. We provide employment services to people with disabilities so that they, too, can be independent as possible. We serve people with developmental disabilities, children and adults, and we serve seniors and our aging population. And there are a significant number of people in each of your districts that do this work, and it's really my privilege to have been asked to support them. My history, I am an attorney by trade, but I never really identified personally as such. I went to law school because I wanted to be a voice for people who couldn't be a voice for themselves and to advocate and champion for better services and better lives and quality of life for individuals. I was able early on in my legal career to do that and have been able to continue that in the work of policy. I spent time also in the work of doing some private legal work at Stoll Reeves, and more recently I've known most of you in my capacity as an advisor to the previous governor on health and human services issues. And for the last 3 years, I've been serving under Dr. Goldberg as the leader of his Children, Adults, and Families Division. In that role, it's really been my privilege to really set a new vision for the work that we do on behalf of children and families and to continue to support the good work that was starting and really build on that. We've safely reduced the number of children in foster care. We've met the needs of thousands of Oregonians during unprecedented economic times and really unheard of caseload growth. We're the front door for medical programs. And we've successfully streamlined our eligibility and enrollment process, moving from a wait time for people from 9 days to same-day or next-day service in terms of receiving their benefits. We've implemented several program improvement efforts, process improvement efforts, and where I think we're headed as an agency in this time where we're dividing but also staying closely linked is pretty exciting, even in the midst of the challenge. I think our challenge because of the budget situation is significant. People depend on us to be safe, to be healthy, to be well in their homes and in communities. It's more important now than ever that we have strong partnerships with our community partners. We don't do this work alone. My personal philosophy is that government can't solve everybody's problems, but in fact we need to be working in partnership and in a supportive way with our community partners, and I've been fortunate in my role to be able to establish those partnerships and really see them through looking at priorities. I think we have an opportunity now to do some transformative work in the midst of the crisis that we're in, but I also think that the department needs strong leadership and stability and consistency, and I'm able to bring that having been there before now and continue it, but also implement some really necessary change as we reset to the new level of funding that we're going to have going into this next biennium, and we rethink some of the things we do really well and the things we need to do well going into the future. So I appreciate the chance to be before you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Director Kelly Seal? Well, I'll ask one then. So you alluded to the fact that we're in a challenging time, and obviously this is not a budget committee, but I wanted to ask you to comment a little bit about how the department is dealing with the challenges of an increasing demand for services. There was a front page story in the Oregonian today about how this is a pretty unprecedented time in terms of people who are eligible for a lot of the programs that you administer, and just the way in which the department is trying to manage increasing demand for services with a decreasing level of resources to provide them.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, this has been our dynamic really since 2008 when the recession started and our caseload started going up. Just for perspective, we've had about a 43% increase in the number of families living in extreme poverty who are accessing our services over the last 2.5 years. We've had an over 50% increase in the number of Oregonians who need support just to feed their families. And we've increased our enrollment in our medical programs by over 30%. One of the ways that we've managed this, as this has all been happening, is that we've really worked on, as Dr. Goldberg said, making our processes as efficient and effective as possible with a focus on better customer service. In doing that, we've been able to improve service, reduce some of the bureaucratic steps in our process, and actually we've had always a workload gap for our staffing levels, and we've been able to shrink that gap some without adding new staff, but instead just doing the work more efficiently and effectively. Going into the future, we've been talking about ways that our customers tell us that they need serving, ways that we know best how to serve them really from the ground up with our staff and their best ideas, and talking about how do we prioritize this work so that we can do the work that you charge us to do as best we can. I think it's going to be a really tough time to be good at everything, and I don't think it's possible for us to be all things to all people. So my vision is that we focus in on the things that are most critical, most important, and that we do those as well as we can. We have to do that in partnership with you as well. I think the conversation going on now with the budget committee is about how we innovate within our programs, how we work in partnership with communities, stakeholders, and others to be innovative and to continue to move ourselves forward is a really important one. And we've actually come up with some really good ideas that should help us prevent the need for service in the long run and also hopefully mitigate or triage some of the challenge that we're going to have as we're not able to continue serving people at the same levels that they've been accustomed to receiving services in the past. And I think part of the critical, what I will close with is, I think as we go through this together, it's going to be really important that we be committed to doing this with clear communication, accountable for the outcomes and the priorities that we do have, and that with a lot of transparency so that we all understand what's going on and we're having conversation about it as we go. I don't think anyone's ever led an organization through a time like this here in Oregon before now, and so it's certainly my hope and expectation to keep having conversation with you all about how we are succeeding or are challenged as we go through the next couple of years.
Good answer. Well, thank you very much for your willingness to bring your experience and expertise and leadership at what is a difficult time. So thank you for being here today, and we will be acting at the end of the hearing on your appointment. Okay, I will close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Todd Basham to the Land Use Board of Appeals. If you'd like to come forward. Senator Ferrioli, and I think you heard how we're going about this. If you'd like to just introduce yourself, tell us a little about your background and why you want to serve in this position.
Certainly. Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name is Todd Basham. I'm a candidate for reappointment and confirmation for the Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA as it's known. As you probably know, LUBA is a small state agency that provides functions as a specialized land use review body. Our primary purpose is to quickly resolve land use appeals and bring finality as soon as possible to land use disputes. Under statute, LUBA has to issue our final opinion resolving the appeal within 77 days of the day the record is received or settled. LUBA has three board members who, under the statute, must be attorneys experienced in land use. I started in LUBA as one of two staff attorneys, and in 1999 was appointed by then-Governor Kitzhaber to serve as a board member. It has been a great honor and privilege to serve as a board member over the past decade and to help LUBA fulfill its statutory mandates. Given the strict deadlines and the workload of resolving hundreds of appeals every year, it is a demanding and humbling service, but ultimately one I find personally satisfying. Due to necessary budget cuts this year, LUBA no longer has any staff attorneys to assist the board. Mm-hmm. The agency now consists of the board members and two part-time administrative staff, and will for some time. It will be a challenge in coming years for the agency to cope with the number of appeals that will arise as our state economy recovers. If confirmed, I will use my experience and my commitment to help the agency cope with those challenges. Thank you for your consideration. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you for your introduction. Any questions for Mr. Basham?
Yes.
Yes, Senator Atkinson.
In your time at the agency, have you seen appeals increase in number or stay about the same?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Atkinson, when I started in the 1990s, our appeal numbers were quite high, around the 250 per year. They dropped to about an average of 220 over the last decade. It goes up cyclically with the economy. And when there's a recession, they go down. When the economy is booming, they go up. 2 years ago, we had a record number, I think about 270 appeals. Right now, because of the recession, it's quite low, about 150.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here today. And I'll close the public hearing, and I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Stephen Woods to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. If you'd like to come forward. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Steve Woods. I'm a Coos Bay, Yaquina Bay, Columbia River, Willamette River pilot. In 1999, I transferred as a full-time pilot at Coos Bay to the Columbia River as the traffic had gone down considerably. I was at that time on the Board of Maritime Pilots. In 2003, I had served 8 years, and Captain Yates then was appointed, and he has done his 8 years. In that time, when I transferred up, I was a backup pilot for Coos Bay, which I still am. In that time, the other two pilots besides Charlie had retired, so that leaves Captain Yates is the sole full-time pilot at Coos Bay and myself as a backup. We do have one man in training. He's hasn't got a state license yet. The board rules require that the pilot board member on the board have at least 2 years' time as a pilot before he can qualify for the board. More than willing to serve at least a full 4 years on the board, and by that time we should have Captain Wales fully licensed, and then he can step into that position. I do have, I don't know if I'm permitted to get some visual.
You can give them to Mike, who's...
I'm electronically, technically challenged, so these are my display. The front page shows a chip ship heading inbound, ready to transit through the railroad bridge. That is my view from the bridge of the ship as you're getting ready to go through. On most of the ships, you have centerline cranes and hoppers on in front also, so you really don't even get to see the hole that you're going through. On the second to the last page in the book, it shows a ship inbound on the bar crossing in. The pilot boat is following behind, and it shows it was a fairly active day on the bar with the swell, you know, with the propeller and the rudder up out of the water. So the Pacific Ocean does go further south than Tillamook Rock, you know, on the coast. So Coos Bay does get some pretty good weather.
Great. Thank you very much. And you managed to get a plug in at the end, too. So
yeah.
Thank you for that. We're looking at the tide tables and the sunrise and sunset and moonrise times, too. Okay. Any questions for this candidate? Okay. I guess you've answered them all. Thank you very much for being here today.
One other thing is when I was training on the Columbia River, I had a chip ship outbound with Senator Ferrioli and
Senator Gordley.
Senator Gordley. Yeah.
And Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes, Senator Ferrioli.
Senator Gordley and I were amazed by the rather exacting nature of the navigation that has to occur under the watchful eye of the pilots in that endeavor, and more amazed by the not so much by the boarding process, but the debarkation process from one of these vessels in transit. A pilot vessel comes out to meet the ship, and you get to jump from an iron ladder to the pitching deck of a small transport vessel, probably 12.
Actually, it's a manila rope with wood steps, but you do come down the combination ladder, so it's a combination
and
of wood rope.
You know, it isn't the material of the ladder so much as the leap of faith that you make to the pitching deck of this little tender, and it's probably only 12 square feet that you have to hit, and it's moving. And, it, you know, I stood bravely aside while Senator Gordley made the plunge first. It is ladies before gentlemen in my world. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
Fun,
okay, thank you again for being here today. And I'll close the public hearing. And I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Mari Watanabe and Stephen Ying to the Commission on Asian Affairs. And Mr. Ying is here in the room, and Ms. Watanabe is going to be joining us by phone.
Yes,
and Ms. Watanabe, are you with us by phone?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Hi, Mari.
Hi. And we have just been joined, and we've announced that we are opening a hearing on the appointment of yourself and Stephen Ying to the Commission on Asian Affairs. He's here at the witness table, and we will allow him to go first, and then we'll hear from you.
Okay. Hello, Stephen.
Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. My name is Stephen Ying. I'm currently the president of the two major organizations of Chinese community. I'm president of called CCBA, Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association, which is oversee 36 traditional Chinese organization of Oregon. And also the other one is the Chinese American Citizens Alliance, which is a civil rights group, is about 90 years old, and the CCBA is a 136 years old organization. I also serve in the Oregon Civil Rights Council for the last 3 years, and I've been advocated for the Chinese community, and I work with a lot of Asian agencies, such as Japanese, Korean, and Filipino, and Laos and Hmongs. I have for the last 8 years, I've been the Chinese community leader and spokesman for the Chinese community, and I've been working with the city a lot. They even give me a nickname, Mayor of Chinese Community. So. And I'm also a vice president of the Fujian, Oregon sister state. And for the last few years, I've been coordinating with the legislator to go to China for trade mission, and also as well as Taiwan.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being here and for your willingness to serve. And next, we'll hear from Mari Watanabe. Ms. Watanabe, if you could go ahead and say your name for the record, and then just tell us a little bit about your background and your interest in serving on the Commission on Asian Affairs.
Okay. My name is Mari Watanabe. I'm a third-generation Japanese-American, originally from Seattle, but moved to Portland 11 years ago. And my job when I moved here was in the apparel industry, and I spent 25 years in corporate America, where my emphasis was really the development of factory manufacturing in almost every Asian country that there is. So I have extensive knowledge of working in Asia. After that, I decided that I wanted a change in career path, so I chose the nonprofit world because I wanted to have an opportunity to give back. So I am now currently the executive director of Oregon Nikkei Endowment. It's a Japanese-American history and culture organization located in Old Town, which was also formerly Japantown back prior to the evacuation of the Japanese Americans during World War II. So since I have been in the executive director position, I've been really extensively involved in the community, not only the Japanese community, but the Asian community, and currently serve on several boards. One is the Old Town Chinatown Business Association. I am also on the Friends of Minidoka board, which is an organization that promotes the development of the internment camp site called Minidoka in southern Idaho. I'm also on the Japanese Ancestral Society board and the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, also known as APANO. I'm on their advisory board. Just in March, I was in Japan. During the week of the earthquake with the U.S.-Japan Council, I was chosen as the Portland delegate, along with 12 other delegates from around the country to participate in a week-long tour of Japan, meeting with high-level business leaders, members of the Diet. We unfortunately did not get to meet the Prime Minister because of the earthquake, but we did get to meet the new Foreign Minister after he was appointed with the surprising resignation of Miyahara. So, and then my interest is to just use my background and knowledge networks to help the Asian community in Oregon and also to learn a lot myself. I'm hoping to learn a lot more about the political process as I take on this challenge.
Great. Well, we really appreciate your interest and your willingness to serve. Any questions for these candidates? Okay, I don't see any questions, so thank you very much, Ms. Watanabe, for joining us by telephone, and Mr. Ying for being here today in person. And we will be acting on your appointments at the end of our hearing. So I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Judge Kemp to the Commission on Black Affairs. If you'd like to come forward. And while he's coming forward, it looks like Senator Atkinson has been joined by yet another friend. Would you like to introduce your guest?
Sure. I just I got rid of my daughter and picked up a son.
We hope you didn't get rid of her, but...
Well, I don't know.
She probably found other things to do.
The same fate may happen to Eric. Eric, please introduce yourself for the record.
I am Eric Bridge.
And where are you from?
I am from West Salem.
Great. Well, welcome.
Formerly of the hall. I just grab anybody and...
Right. For people that might be watching us out in cyberspace, today is Take Your Child to Work Day. So we are having young people join us at the dais so they can participate. We're very glad, Eric, that you could be here today. And welcome, Mr. Kemp, to our hearing. If you could just start by introducing yourself and telling us about your interest in serving on the Commission on Black Affairs.
My name is Judge Kemp, Jr., and Madam Chair and Senators, I'd like to thank you very much for seeing me today. I wanted to be involved in the Oregon Commission of Black Affairs because, to me, it's the right thing to do. Throughout my life, I've been driven by my personal commitment to diversity and equality, not just where I work, but also where I choose to live. Raised in a single-parent home, I know firsthand of the struggles and negative influences that can affect a young mind and destroy one's future and family. Fortunately, I made wise decisions that shaped who I am today, a traveled, multilingual black man who believes in giving back to the community. Regardless of our race or sexual orientation, we all should have the same opportunities to succeed and be well. My experience as a board member in Portland's Q Center, educational background from Portland State Communication Department, and networking ability make me a great candidate for this commission. My interests, if selected, lie in working with the board and others to address issues such as racial employment disparities, the increasing obesity rates among blacks, and homophobia in the black community. I'd just like to say thanks again to the commission for their time and also for their consideration, and I welcome your questions.
Thank you very much for being here and for your willingness to serve on the commission. Any questions for Mr. Kemp? Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And we will be acting on your appointment at the conclusion of our hearing today. I'll close the public hearing, and I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Sari Hersey, Patricia Kepler, and Carla McQuillan to the Commission for the Blind. If you would like all three of you to come forward, that would be great. We have three chairs up here. And welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thank you for being here. I don't know if you've decided which one of you would like to go first, but in whatever order, please introduce yourself and tell us a little about your interest in serving on the commission.
Okay, I'll go first, I guess. My name is Patricia Kepler. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee, for having me here today. The dog is Nisha.
Hi, Nisha.
She is enjoying being here as well. I lost my vision at 17, so I've utilized the commission services at one point. I'm currently working on my master's degree in organizational leadership and work professionally as a counselor at Independent Living Resources in Portland, Oregon, where a large number of my consumers have vision loss and have either at some point used the commission or will use the commission services. I have worked very hard as an advocate, both professionally and in my volunteer time, both on the locally at my home in Beaverton with the Citizens Advisory Council on Disabilities to the mayor, and through nonprofit organizations such as Guide Dog Users of Oregon, where I've come down here a few times to testify on past legislation, and with the American Council of the Blind of Oregon. I'm hoping to be able to further use my advocacy skills and actually just learn more about the political process and be an active member of the Commission for the Blind to ensure quality services for all blind and visually impaired Oregonians. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Sarah Hersey. I'm a student and at the BCC Cascade, and I'm hoping to go at BSU in the fall term. My background is I'm originally was born in Somalia and lived in refugee camp in 11 years. I lost my eyes when I was 9 years old, and where I come from, the blind people have no lives or opportunity because other people are, it's priorities other people first. To make short, and I came to the commission without not knowing anything about blind person what can do. Then I get the opportunity and to teach me everything, like basic, the independent and have a hope in the future, and I'm living that dreams. And I would like to serve the commission because I think I want to put my thought and opinion, how can I approve blind person, because if they change my life, someone like me who lived it 20 years, you can do nothing, and now, and to change only a couple of years, I think a lot of people can have opportunity here, and I think we only need to give opportunity and get a job such as other people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your willingness to serve. And Carla?
Hi, my name is Carla McQuillan, and I am the executive director and founder of Main Street Montessori Association. We operate three Montessori schools and a teacher certification program in Lane County. I served for 14 years as the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon, which serves as an advocacy and education organization. We also provide a great deal of resource and referral information. So I pretty much got a handle on all of the services for blind children, adults, from cradle to grave. And I have not served on the Commission for the Blind Board. Would like to do that, and think that my background and experience working with blind people, and as a blind person myself, I've been blind since I was 10. I have a rare form of macular degeneration, so it's the leading cause of blindness in people who are elderly, and I got it when I was 10 years old, so I have no central vision. I have some peripheral vision remaining. So anyway, anything that I can do to help out, I'm happy to do it.
Great. Well, thanks to all of you for your willingness to serve on the commission and the experience that you're bringing to this. Any questions for these witnesses? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much for being here, and we'll be acting on your appointments at the end of the hearing today. I will close this public hearing, and I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Catherine Merritt to the Construction Contractors Board. Good afternoon, Catherine, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a little about your desire to serve.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Catherine Merritt, and I've been a contractor, licensed contractor, in the state of Oregon since 1999. I've been working in the construction industry since 1979. I was a licensed shop teacher. So I'm an educator, trainer, and a carpenter by trade. My interest in serving on the CCB committee is to further advocate for women and minorities in my industry and to make sure that small business is well represented on the board. I think my background is it demonstrates a commitment to my industry and to the quality of work that Oregonians would like to see. Thank you, Madam.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much for being here today, Ms. Merritt, and we will act on your appointment with the others at the end of our hearing. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Julie Ann Smith to the Oregon Board of Dentistry. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and if you'd like to introduce yourself and make a few comments, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Julie Ann Smith. I'm both a dentist as well as a medical doctor. I specialize in oral and maxillofacial surgery, and I'm currently an assistant professor at Oregon Health and Science University, teaching oral and maxillofacial surgery not just to dental students, who are our future dentists, but also to residents who are training to specialize in this field. I'm interested in a position on the Oregon Board of Dentistry basically because I want to serve the people of Oregon in a more broader sense than I do now. Currently, I'm very fortunate to be able to have one-on-one patient contact with direct patient care. But by serving as a member of the State Board of Dentistry, I can serve all of the people of Oregon because the Board of Dentistry serves to ensure the safe practice of dentistry and safe and ethical delivery of dental care to everyone who lives in Oregon, and that is very important to me. I feel that my background has made me very well suited for this position. Previously, I was active duty in the Army, serving our country at Walter Reed Army Medical Center for 7 years as an oral and maxillofacial surgeon. And part of what I did, not just direct patient care, but part of what I did was also to ensure the safe delivery of care in our clinic. Additionally, I have other experience that I feel makes me a good candidate for this position. I'm a board examiner for the American Board of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, and I also serve as a site visitor for the Commission on Dental Accreditation, so I'm experienced with evaluating dental education at residency programs and dental schools. Additionally, as an educator currently, I feel that this puts me in a unique position to be able to serve on this board because I'm very acutely aware of exactly what goes into dental school education at the Oregon Health and Science University, which really does end up providing a lot of the dentists that practice in the state of Oregon. Additionally, I've had some experience as doing expert witness work in another state that has really familiarized me with rules and regulations in general of other state boards of dentistry. So, in summation, I am very much interested in serving the people of Oregon on the Oregon Board of Dentistry, and I really appreciate your time, and thank you for listening to me, and I'll take any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you for being here and for your willingness to serve. Are there any questions for Dr. Smith? Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Diane Stadler to the Board of Examiners of Licensed Dietitians. Good afternoon and welcome to Senate Rules. If you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about why you want to serve on this board, that would be great.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair and Senators. My name is Diane Stadler. I am an assistant professor at Oregon Health and Science University. I am also the director of the graduate programs in nutrition for OHSU. My background is that I've served as a pediatric dietitian and have been a registered dietitian since 1986 and a licensed dietitian in the state of Oregon since 2000. In my role as the director of the graduate programs in nutrition, I teach, educate, and do research. And OHSU has one of the largest nutrition dietetics education programs, not only in the state of Oregon, but in the Pacific Northwest and the western part of the United States. We train 26 students every year to enter the field of dietetics and to become practitioners of nutrition and dietetics, both in the state, the region, and across the country. My interest in serving in this role is multifaceted. I am very interested in serving as a role model for our students and for other dietitians in the Portland area as well as across the state of Oregon. Individuals who serve on this board represent dietitians and the practice of dietetics for the profession and ensure among the population that good, ethical, and up-to-date information is being delivered. We serve on this board in a way that we protect the public and we ensure that those who are providing this information are trained, licensed, and registered nationally. We serve in a role of 3 years and most of us who serve on this board are very integrated into a number of the professional associations throughout the state, the Oregon Dietetics Association, the Portland Dietetics Association, and we serve in clinical, in community-based roles, and in policy-based roles. And it's my honor and privilege to be considered for this position on the Board of Examiners of Licensed Dietitians, and I welcome any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you very much for being willing to serve, and I just scanned your resume, and it's extremely impressive.
Thank you.
Any questions for this witness? Okay, well, thank you for being here. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Lupita Maurer to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for your time. For the record, my name is Lupita Maurer. A good friend of mine asked me to do this in Spanish, but I think I will be polite and just address the members in English. I was born in Mexico City, and I am the granddaughter of Celestino Pérez y Pérez, a founding father of Mexico who signed the Mexican Constitution of 1917. And I came to live permanently in America when I was a teenager. I graduated magna cum laude with a degree in computer science from the University of Cal State University, East Bay. And I was able to do this because of the tuition equity ruling from the California Supreme Court, which allows undocumented students to pay tuition equal to those of the residents. So I am thankful for that opportunity. I became a U.S. citizen in 1995, and I moved to Oregon, where I have been working at the same high-tech company for the last 15 years. I volunteer teaching middle school girls about the importance of math and science and computer programming as a career option. And I have served in the Oregon Commission on Civil Rights for the last 2 years. I would like to let you know that I love this country with all my heart, and I believe in political participation and discourse, and want to repay my state and my country for all the wonderful things that they have offered to me. Not only for being the best, not only being the best advocate for Hispanics in the state, but I also want to be an advocate for anybody who strives to live the American dream, because that's who I am. Thank you very much. I would love to entertain any questions if you might have.
Thank you very much for being here and for your willingness to serve on the commission.
Thank you, Senator.
Any questions for this witness? Okay, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
And I'll close this public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Anabel Jaramillo to the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Anabel Jaramillo. I am from Philomath, Oregon, which is part of rural Benton County, and I currently serve as one of the three Benton County commissioners. I presented all of you with a piece of paper that shows my interest in this particular commission, so I'm not going to belabor that point, but I do want to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been in public service some 33 years, and I started out in the federal government with my first 13 years, went to state government in my the next 9 years, and have been in local government for the last 11. Now, some folks have told me they think that's a backward progression. I tell them I don't think so. I think that's a forward progression because serving at the local level is important, if not more important. Serving on the Commission of Judicial Fitness and Disability, I think will broaden my understanding and give me an opportunity to continue my service to Oregon and my community. I started out my career as a research botanist and then worked in state policy and then now as a local policymaker. So I tried to broaden that interest, and I have worked on public safety issues over that my entire career, so that I do have a deep interest and have been primarily involved with issues regarding overrepresentation of communities of color in the juvenile and justice systems. I have a high regard for our judges, and I believe very strongly that those of us in public service need to be held to a high standard of ethics and integrity. And if I can help do that on this particular commission, I'm very willing to commit more time to my state to do that. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. And any questions? I don't see any. Thank you very much.
And it's nice to see some of you again. Yeah. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Good to see you. Okay, I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Jean Quincy and Jen Tonneson to the State Marine Board. And if both of you would like to come forward together, that would be great. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and if you'd like to just start by introducing yourself by name and then telling us a little about your background and interest in serving on the Marine Board.
Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jen Tonneson, and I'm interested in serving on the Oregon State Marine Board for numerous reasons. My husband and I both own a marina that has slips and floating homes and a boatyard, so we're very much affected by the rules that are generated by the Marine Board. We're also very interested in keeping our waterways safe and clean for all the users. My son just graduated from Cal Maritime Academy in marine engineering, so it's really important for me to advocate for a healthy working river and that the maritime industry remains strong and viable for his future. I'm really nervous. Sorry. And we own every kind of boat imaginable, my husband and I. We have just about every toy out there. And it's important for me to see all users being treated fairly and equally and safely. And it seems like there have been issues that have been raised recently that have been dividing the user groups, and I'd like to be able to participate and help unify and assure the safety of all the users. So I welcome any questions.
Great, thanks. I think we'll hold questions till we've heard from both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jean Quincy. I am currently a outrigger and dragon boat paddler. I'm also an outrigger canoe and dragon boat steers person, and I coach youth groups and senior women. I recreationally kayak, sometimes sail with my husband. I'm serving on the board of the paddling club. I've served recently with the Pacific Division Dragon Boat Association as vice president and on a few United States Dragon Boat Federation committees. I am interested in serving on the Marine Board to bring more voice to the non-motorized to our state waterways and to help with user conflict issues. I believe that the Marine Board is in transition. The demographics are changing due to the technologies that are bringing both boats with bigger motors and smaller boats that are lighter and more portable. And I believe that a lot of the conflict ensues because of the technology changes. And I would like to be a part of resolving some of those issues. I would be honored to serve on the Marine Board in order to do that.
Well, thank you both for your willingness to serve and for being here today. And any questions for these witnesses?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Burdick.
Yeah, just an observation. I think it's really a good message that we're sending, that we have a member from the dragon boat community on this board. There have been some issues where I feel that their voice has not been represented, so I'm very pleased that you're willing to serve.
Thank you.
Both of you.
Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you again for being here, and we'll be acting on your appointments at the conclusion of today's hearing. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Tom Chamberlain to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And if you'd like to just introduce yourself for the record and then tell us a little bit about your desire to serve on the Port of Portland Commission.
My name's Tom Chamberlain. Currently, I'm president of the Oregon AFL-CIO. I spent 27 years as a Portland firefighter. I've served on various boards and commissions with the City of Portland. And with the State of Oregon, I've served on the Oregon Health Fund Board, the Employment Advisory Board. I grew up in North Portland, where many of my friends' parents worked on the docks or been associated with the docks, so I understood from an early age how important the port is to commerce in this state, to the entire state, not just the City of Portland. I believe that a good-paying job is a basis for education, good quality of life for Oregonians. I can't think of a board or commission that's as important to Oregon's economic future as the Port of Portland. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your willingness to serve. And any questions for this witness? Okay, looks like you've answered them all, and thank you for being here today. And I'll close the public hearing And I think our next witness is appearing by telephone.
She is, yes.
And Mike, is she? And I'll open a public hearing on the public hearing on the appointment of Mary Kramer to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. And Ms. Kramer, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum.
Great. Thank you for being with us by telephone. If you would start by introducing yourself by name for the record and then tell us a little bit about your background and desire to serve on the Ethics Commission.
Great. Chair Rosenbaum and committee members, my name is Mary Kramer. I live in Senate District 19. I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to apply for serving Oregonians as a member of the Ethics Commission. I have a background in finance where I called on state and local government as well as pension funds. After that career, I became a stay-at-home mom and started to advocate for low-income families through educational options that bring those students back involved in school that had dropped out. As a result of that, I became the coordinator of a parent group through the legislative process. After that, I was a candidate for state senate. So I have a lot of different backgrounds that I think would bring a different perspective that would encourage the citizen legislators to continue to come as a candidate, as a part of service to Oregonians. And I look forward to hopefully having the opportunity to serve Oregon in this way. Thank you, and I would take any questions you might have.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. Any questions for Ms. Kramer? Okay, I don't see any questions, so thank you very much for joining us by telephone. We'll be acting on your appointment at the conclusion of our hearing today.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Have a great day.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
And I'll close this public hearing. And last but not least, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Wendy Gunter to the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. And is she she's joining us by telephone as well. Is this Wendy Gunter?
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is State Senator Diane Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and we are in the hearing room, and we just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. So what would be great is if you could introduce yourself by name for the record and then tell us a little about your background and your interest in serving on the board.
My name is Wendy Goffner Gunter. I'm a licensed language pathologist in the state of Oregon, and I also hold national certification with the American Speech Language Hearing Association. I've been practicing for about 10 years now. I'm a native Oregonian, and I live, of course, here in Oregon. I've practiced most of the time up at Dornbecker Children's Hospital at the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center up at Oregon Health and Sciences University, although I currently am in private practice as a private contractor. I have enjoyed teaching. I've been on faculty at Temecula Community College at the Speech Pathology Assistant Program. And I've really enjoyed contributing to the field. I'm currently past president of the Oregon Speech Language Hearing Association. And I've really enjoyed times that I've been able to mentor and contribute to the field. So I see this as an opportunity for me to be involved in the profession and to contribute to my colleagues
and protect consumers.
Great. Well, thanks very much for your willingness to lend your expertise to this position. Are there any questions for Ms. Gunter? I don't see any. Well, thank you very much for being with us today by phone and for your willingness to serve.
Yes, thank you.
Great. Okay, I'll close the public hearing. And members, that concludes the list of people that we have to appear before us today. Oh, that would be a good idea. Okay, we'll be at ease for just a moment while we look for Senator Burdick. Actually, we won't be at ease. Why don't we turn again to Senator Atkinson, who has again been joined by another friend, and see if you'd like to introduce him.
Yes, this is my friend Ram Foy from Southern Oregon. He is a Boy Scout, and he's here following his mother to work today. And he is my 2 o'clock hour, half an hour intern for the day.
Great. Well, Ram,
for a half an hour.
Welcome to Senate Rules. I don't know if you're going to earn a badge or anything for being here today, but we really appreciate you being here.
In my office, Madam Chair, it's survival.
The survival badge. I know that from my time on the fourth floor. Okay. Okay, so now I think we have all members present, and I will open a work session, and the chair will move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Mari Watanabe and Stephen Ying to the Commission on Asian Affairs, Judge Kemp and Carlos Richard to the Commission on Black Affairs, Patricia Kepler, Sari Hersey, and Carla McQuillan to the Commission for the Blind, Catherine Merritt to the Construction Contractors Board, Dr. Julianne Smith to the Oregon Board of Dentistry, Dr. Diane Stadler to the Board of Examiners of Licensed Dietitians, Mary Kramer and Ian Whitlock to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Dr. Bruce Goldberg as Director of the Oregon Health Authority, Erin Kelly Seal as Director of the Department of Human Services, Lupita Maurer to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, Anabel Jaramillo to the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability, Todd Basham to the Land Use Board of Appeals, Jean Quincy and Jen Tonneson to the State Marine Board, Stephen Woods to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, Dr. Ralph Yates to the Oregon Medical Board, Frank Krause to the Board of Medical Imaging, Tom Chamberlain to the Board of Commissioners for the Port of Portland, Dr. Evan Evans, Wendy Gunter, Jenny Price, and Mark Wax to the State Board of Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology, and Karen Utz to the, I guess I mispronounced that.
You're right.
Karen Utz to the Oregon Tourism Commission. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, seeing none, the motion carries. And I will close the work session on these appointments. And members, these are moved to the floor. We do need someone to carry these. I believe that Senator Burdick carried our last group of executive appointments. I carried the ones before that. Do we have a volunteer to carry these? Senator Beyer.
Sure.
Senator Beyer, thank you for volunteering. So you will carry these on the floor. Thank you very much, everyone who appeared today, both by telephone and in person, and for your willingness to serve the state of Oregon. I'll close the work session, and with nothing further to come before us, we are adjourned.